Community by Harry Venning. In Treatment.
You must be Brian and Claire.
That's us.
Yes, that's right.
Please, go on.
This room?
That's right, yeah. Just make yourselves at home and I'll be back in a minute.
Okay, right, yeah. Well.
Don't start, Brian.
What do you mean, start?
You were about to moan about something, I could just tell.
All I said was well.
It's enough. Please don't act all odd just because the man is in a wheelchair.
I wasn't.
Yes, you were, and you know it. Why are you so awkward around differently abled people?
I'm not!
Yes, you are, honestly. It's like the Paralympics never happened.
I was just a bit surprised.
He's our couples counsellor, Brian. He's not our river dance teacher. Whatever disability he may have is irrelevant.
I know, it's just a...
He's a person, Brian. He's a human being like any other. Will you just, for goodness sake, just do as I do,
all
OK?
Right.
Treat him like you would treat anybody else.
Sorry about that.
No worries.
So, introductions. My name's Robin Wheel, which you have to admit's rather ironic under the circumstances.
Robin Wheel!
Although it's Wheel with an EA and not an EE.
Oh, EA. Oh dear.
Now, people come to couples counselling for a multitude of reasons.
Yeah, I'm sorry to interrupt, but may I ask a question?
By all means.
Yeah, I was led to believe that these sessions were £40 an hour, but I was just talking to a chap in the waiting room and he told me he was only paying £15. How come that's...
Well, £40 is what we would suggest as payment.
Right.
Obviously, those on a low wage or in benefits can't afford such a sum, so we ask them to give whatever they can. You know, this way we can supply a service to the whole community.
So it's sort of up to us how much we pay.
Well, yes, but we do suggest £40.
But we could pay less.
Yes, but since you're both in full-time employment, we really do suggest £40.
In theory, we could pay nothing.
It's a voluntary donation, so yes. As I was saying, people come to couples counselling for a multitude of reasons.
Do we pay you, or...?
No, you'll pay at the office on your way out.
Right, so you don't get to see how much we pay?
No.
Well, I think £40 sounds more than reasonable.
Any more questions?
No more questions.
No, as I was saying, people come to couples counselling for a multitude of reasons. The majority want to resolve their issues by whatever they're experiencing.
The majority, doesn't everybody?
Well, no. Fixing things is option one, but there's also an option two.
Right.
Option two, for people who feel their relationship has maybe reached its end, to help people split up.
Yes, well, we won't be needing that.
What sort of services?
Claire!
I'm only asking, Brian.
We help disentangle entanglements. Domestic, financial, emotional.
Yes, well, we're very happily entangled, thank you very much. We just hit a bit of a sticky patch.
Since 1998.
Yeah, well, we have actually had previous experience of couples counselling.
Really?
Yeah, 10 years ago, although it was, you know, part of a group. We were just one of six couples sharing and discussing their problems.
Uh-huh. Was it helpful?
Well, I'd have found it a bit more helpful if Claire had come along with me, but...
I had quite a lot on.
OK, look, before we start discussing specific issues, I think it would help if maybe we got to know about yourselves.
Oh, me first?
Yeah.
OK, very good. I'm Claire Barker, and I'm a social worker. Yeah, I mean, a lot of people don't like to be defined by the job that they do, but I actively encourage it because I am a social worker. You know, being a social worker informs my very existence. And, you know, I'm not just talking about the time that I spend at work. Compassion, you see, doesn't keep office hours. And empathy, it just can't take a duvet day. If I see suffering, if I see injustice, if I see oppression, I will not, I cannot walk on by on the other side of the road and just pretend it doesn't exist. And yes, this does mean that I have to give of myself every waking minute of every exhausting day. And yes, that can create problems in my personal life, but I don't feel that I've got a choice. Sorry, I expect all of this might sound rather naive and idealistic.
Not at all, in fact. That was extremely inspiring.
Well, thank you very much.
No, no, thank you.
Well, I'm Brian Harris. I'm a teacher at a local...
That's great. So, what brings us both here to couple counselling?
Well, I mean, our relationship has always been rather tempestuous. But recently we've just been arguing about everything.
Well, not everything.
Do you see what I mean? Anyway, both of us were concerned that this continual state of conflict could negatively impact upon our four-year-old son, Thomas.
Uh-huh. And where's Thomas at the moment?
He's with our live-in au pair, Gnarly.
Well, Claire and I both wanted to continue our careers full-time, so hiring an au pair seemed like the ideal solution.
But I would like to stress that it is Brian and I who do the parenting. Gnarly just handles the feeding, walking, playing, reading, teaching, going to bed side of things.
Would you say that being parents maybe brought you closer together?
Well, at first, yeah, definitely. And whatever other faults Brian may have, he's certainly a very committed father.
Yeah, it's the greatest moment of my life, watching Thomas being born in such a tiny, little hands. I'm sorry, getting a bit emotional.
There's a box of tissues on the table.
Thank you.
Don't take them all! I take it Brian was at the birth?
Yes, he was.
Now, of course, there is a school of thought that argues against fathers maybe being at the birth. They believe that the labour is rendered even more stressful because of the dad's anxiety, clumsiness and agitation.
Oh, in fairness, Brian wasn't actually like that at the birth. I mean, at the conception, definitely, but... not at the birth. No. I mean, having said that, you did fall in the birthing pool.
You pushed me in the birthing pool.
A 17-hour labour, Brian. Do you really begrudge me a moment's fun in the middle of that?
We're getting slightly ahead of ourselves here. So, where'd you meet?
Outside in the lobby. University. I did a one-man show based on the life of Mao Zedong, and Claire was in the audience.
I was the audience.
Yeah, this is what you always say, Claire, but that it's not true.
Well, I don't remember anybody else being there. What I do remember is something sharp flying into my eye, followed by the most excruciating pain.
You were injured in the audience. How?
I was scattering rice about the stage in a symbolic representation of China's teeming millions, and Claire caught Shanxi province full in the face.
It scratched my retina.
I'd used whole grain.
I was in so much pain.
Oh, it's true. She was screaming so loudly that eventually I had to stop the performance.
Yeah, Brian dabbed my eye with his bandana. He was very tender.
Yeah. The rest, they say, is history.
No, not really, Brian, because it was a full 6 months before you asked me out. It was another week before we consummated our relationship underneath the duffel coats in the spare bedroom at Alison Prowse's end-of-term party. And I will say for the record that Brian proved an enthusiastic, tender and surprisingly athletic lover.
Very romantic. Now, let's get back to the present. Perhaps we should try and identify the source of this conflict that's disrupting your home.
Mm-hmm.
Claire, you said that your selfless dedication to others can cause problems in your house?
Yes.
And in your personal life?
Yes.
Could you elucidate, please?
Basically, I get home from my high-stress job and Brian is there. Sort of whinging and whining about being ignored.
Would you like to rephrase that statement without using pejorative and judgmental terms?
No.
And why should you? Brian? Whining? Whinging? What's that all about?
Yeah, well, I feel completely sidelined by Claire's job, and it's just not fair. Social work is a primary relationship, not me.
I'm not asking you to whine and whinge, Brian. I'm asking you what's it all about.
Well, because my needs aren't being met. Yeah, just sometimes I want to talk about my stress-filled day at work instead of forever listening to hers.
OK. I am a social worker. He's a teacher. We are in high-stress professions. So, you know, Robin, in a very real sense, the hard work continues at home long after the actual job has finished.
Trying to achieve intimacy.
No, trying to convince the selfish bastard that my day has actually been tougher than his.
And what do you teach, Brian?
Drama.
And would you say that teaching drama is more or less difficult than teaching a proper subject?
Well, I... Hang on a minute!
It was a joke, Brian. Humour is so important. I use it to try and create a relaxed and comfortable atmosphere with my clients.
Oh, I certainly feel relaxed and comfortable, Robin.
Do you, Claire? I'm glad.
Yes, I mean, it's like I've known you for years.
Me too. Isn't that amazing just how strong bonds can be made just in an instant?
May I?
May you what?
May I carry on with what I was saying?
By all means.
Well, she thinks my problems aren't important.
She? She? She's got a name.
Claire. Claire thinks my problems aren't important.
No, I don't.
You told me so yourself.
You see, that's so typical of you, Brian. Bending bending the truth to suit your own purposes. I never said your problems aren't important. They are every bit as important as mine or anybody else's. What I said was they weren't interesting.
There, see?
I'm not an umpire, Brian. I'm not here to take sides. Let's just all agree that you're both in very high, stressful jobs, although one of you gets to spend half a year off on holidays.
My job as a drama teacher is stressful and unappreciated. Neither staff nor students thank me for trying to mount Miss Saigon.
I don't remember you doing Miss Saigon.
Because you never asked.
So, communications have broken down between you?
No.
Yes.
And how are things in the bedroom?
Okay. There's a bird's nest in the tree outside our window that can get pretty noisy first thing in the morning, but apart from that, it's fine.
Yeah, you'll have to excuse Brian. He is deliberately misunderstanding the question because he finds the topic of sex uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. You think he's obfuscating?
Well, I wouldn't like to say, but he certainly spends a lot of time in the bathroom. Yeah, you know, I did once walk in on Brian in the bathroom when he forgot to lock the door. He had a ruler in one hand. And guess what he had in the other?
Oh, for pity's sake!
No, he had a mirror, and he was measuring his bald spot.
The point is that things have gone off the boil.
Well, I think it'd be more accurate to say that the gas had been totally shut off.
So, you aren't having any sexual relations at the minute?
I want to have sex, but she doesn't.
Oh, that's right, Brian. Blame, blame, blame.
Well, I'm sorry, but I'm the only one still making an effort.
Oh, for pity's sake!
Sorry, what sort of effort?
Brian brought back an illustrated edition of the Kama Sutra that he'd found in an antiquarian bookshop. He ended up in A&E.
Really?
He dropped it on his foot!
But I am still keen.
And Claire, how about you?
I think keen is probably overstating the case.
Admit it, Claire, you don't want to have sex with me because you think I'm seriously overweight.
No, Brian, I don't want to have sex with you because I think you're comically overweight.
That is exactly the sort of snidey comment that undermines my confidence, you know?
Comically overweight? Oh, that's brilliant.
That really hurt, that did.
So, Brian, why do you find discussing the topic of sex so uncomfortable?
I don't.
Yes, you do. Brian's one of three brothers, and he went to an all-boys grammar school, and as a result, he is, and always has been, awkward around women and women's issues. He's like a teenager.
Oh, I'm perfectly comfortable around women and their issues.
Honestly, Robin, the subject only has to alight on menstruation for a second and you don't see Brian for dust. He climbed out of the window at Audrey Lipinski's menopause party.
I had things to do.
No, you were embarrassed.
I was not.
Go on, Robin, just say the word tampon to him and watch him change colour.
Yes, well, Claire isn't exactly relaxed about sex either. Her father was a serial womaniser and his behaviour has left Claire with a very ambivalent attitude towards men. Isn't that right, Claire?
Would you like to talk about this,
Claire? No, I'm completely fine to talk about it, Robin. It's no big deal. It just so happens that my parents used to have an open sexual relationship.
And did it work?
Yeah, it was perfectly. Till my mother found out.
So your father chased women?
Oh, no. He didn't have to. They would chase him. He was a sociology lecturer at the Polytechnic, and every year there'd be a new influx of impressionable young women happily sacrificing themselves on the altar of his libido.
Your father, a charismatic, virile, confident Lothario, was your premier male role model when you were growing up?
That's right.
And when you grew up and entered your adulthood and came to choose a man for yourself, you choose Brian?
Yes, that's right.
Interesting.
So, why is that interesting?
How did your mother react to your father's womanising?
Oh, it devastated her.
What is so interesting?
Mummy was deeply unhappy, but she lacked the confidence to leave the marriage.
Did she have a breakdown?
No, she held it together. But she did stop cutting back her wisteria, which is about as close as you get to a scream for help in Weybridge.
So, I repeat, why is that interesting?
I'm sorry, Brian. Did you say something?
Yes, I would like to know why you found it so interesting that Claire should choose me as a partner.
Random thoughts. Forget it.
No, I'd like to know.
It's just a little theory I have germinating away here.
Theory?
Well, that's a long way off fully formed, but it might not even be relevant.
Well, I'd like to hear it anyway.
Okay, Brian, here goes. Claire's an attractive woman, right?
Yes.
I mean, a very attractive woman.
Yes.
A woman who visibly could probably have any man she wanted.
Yes.
Any man.
Yes?
Brian, can you not see where I'm going with this?
I'm not sure.
As a child, Claire witnessed the terrible distress her mother suffered as a result of her father's promiscuity. It had such a profound effect upon Claire that she consciously or subconsciously resolved never to find herself in a similar situation and consequently choose a life partner as far removed from her father as possible.
This is interesting.
Don't you start.
A man whose fidelity would be beyond question, largely because no woman would ever offer him the opportunity to be otherwise.
What are you on about?
Claire. She is an attractive woman.
Yes, yes, I got that bit.
I don't mind hearing it again.
What's your point?
Sexual attractiveness.
What about it?
In layman's terms, Brian, you are punching well above your weight.
Hold on, Robin. I object to that.
You object to me saying that Brian's less attractive than you?
No, no, no. I object to you using a boxing analogy. It glorifies violence.
I do beg your pardon. But you do recognise the truth in what I'm saying.
Well, I mean, who wouldn't?
I don't feel very comfortable with this.
And what don't you feel comfortable with, Brian?
Well, it's as if you're intent on...
Yes?
...making me feel... bad about myself.
Grow up, Brian. Robin is a trained therapist. He's just doing his job.
He's all over you like a rash.
This is interesting.
No, it isn't! It's a bloody cheek. I haven't come to couples counselling to sit here listening to you chatter my bird up. What I meant was...
Wait till we get home, Brian. You are so dead.
Look... Putting aside for 1 minute the emergence of Brian's Neanderthal attitude towards women.
Oh, come on.
Not to mention his pathological possessiveness towards you, Claire. I think it would help if we maybe explore Brian's insecurity a wee bit further.
Yes, can we explore somebody else's for a change?
Well, we could, Brian, except you're the one whose masculinity is in crisis here.
No, it isn't!
No, it isn't.
So, to recap, we have Claire, a confident, self-assured, generous woman, in a relationship with Brian. A paranoid, insecure, emasculated misogynist.
Oh, the relief. No, I can really feel for the first time we're actually making progress.
Would you excuse us? Just excuse us for a minute, Robin.
What is it? What, Brian? What is it now?
There's something not right about this, Claire.
Come on, Brian. You've got to understand, any journey of self-exploration is going to be difficult, especially for somebody as screwed up as you are.
Not with the therapy, Claire. With Robin. I recognise him from somewhere. I'm not sure where, but it'll come to me. Ow!
I'm sorry, Brian. Did I just roll over your foot?
Yes, you flaming well did!
We mustn't have secrets from each other in therapy. Oh. Now, if you saw him, they say it's important to share it with everyone present, please. Do you understand?
Yes.
Oh, sorry. Now, where was I?
You were recapping?
So I was. Now, we were quite deep into our first session, and I've heard quite a bit from both of you. Gleaned some insights into how you think, feel, relate, share, and express yourselves. I know a little about your respective personal histories, and processing all the data, I've come to the conclusion that, well, your relationship is what us psychodynamic therapists would call up shit creek.
Hey?
What?
It's a car crash, and take it from someone who knows all about a car crash.
It's not that bad.
It's worse than bad, Brian. It's cataclysmic.
What do you suggest?
Do you remember couples counseling option number 2?
We don't want help splitting up, do we, Claire? Claire?
No.
Well, I don't know what else to suggest.
Well, you're a therapist. Therapise us.
How am I supposed to do that, Brian, when my very presence in this room intimidates you? It undermines your masculinity.
Yeah, he's got a point.
Did you used to have a beard?
What?
And your voice is very distinct.
Distinct?
Rare.
Not where I come from.
Please, Brian, can you try and stick to the point instead of playing guess who? Robin, surely there is something you can do.
Well, there is, but it constitutes a radical departure from the therapeutic norm.
Okay, go on.
I work with you, Claire. One-on-one.
Couples counselling, but with just the one of us.
Yeah, but wouldn't that mean...
Zip it, Brian.
Zip it.
I think we've heard enough from you.
So how would it work, this couples counselling, with just me?
A pair of us would concentrate on exploring the salient personal, sexual and professional issues. This would affect... Well, it would affect the change in you and alter the dynamic in your relationship with Brian.
And how often would I have to come here?
The sessions wouldn't be here... The surroundings here just, they're too oppressive for the depth of emotional honesty that I'll be working with you.
And what, where do you suggest?
Do you like Chinese food?
Sip it, of course!
Ryan, what are you on about?
In my first week at university, I was the victim of a barbaric initiation ritual perpetrated by a gang of troglodytes from the rugby club. They put me upside down in my sleeping bag and rolled me down the banks of the ornamental garden into the campus duck pond.
Yes, well, that is a fascinating trip down memory lane, Brian, but it's hardly relevant, does it?
Bear with me, Robin. You see, the last words I heard before I was engulfed in the darkness of the sleeping bag were, zip it. They were the words of their ringleader, the team captain. Your words, Robin. Or should I call you by your rugby club nickname, King Kong.
That was King Dong, actually. Not King Kong.
But do you remember me?
No.
He rolled me into a duck pond, you must remember.
I'm sorry, Brian, there's just so many.
Whoa, it's all moving a bit fast for me. Can someone tell me what's going on?
It's him, Michael McKinley.
Good grief, so it is.
Guilty as charged.
You ruined that sleeping bag.
Michael McKinley.
You remember me?
And I squashed a duck to death. Have you any idea what it's like having something like that on your conscience?
I remember a preening, sexist, womanising, true blue Tory bully boy pig and the arrogant way he used to strut around campus as if to say, come on, girls, take a good look at my chiselled features, wide shoulders, athletic build, green grey eyes and unkempt, dark, curly hair that you can run your fingers through.
So I made an impression on you?
Well, I mean, how could you fail to? You and your cronies took great pains to disrupt, ridicule and undermine me. And my sisters in the Boo Dicker Women's Collective, and I think you got three of them pregnant.
Not me personally, but yes, I did. I did target you all somewhat relentlessly.
I don't know how the duck got inside the sleeping bag, but... I can still hear the sound of his terrified quacks. Well, he wasn't biting.
What happened to you?
To my body. I wrapped my dad's Alfa Romeo around a tree. To my politics. My attitude. Well... You get to do a lot of reevaluating when you're sitting around your backside for 15 years and counting.
Well, it is a distinct improvement, Michael, I have to say.
You always were an incredibly sensitive woman, Claire. I should have known I can never fool you. Most people look at a man in a wheelchair and they just see the chair, they don't see the person behind it. But you, you look beyond all that superficial physical challenges I've undergone and you recognise me for who I was.
It was me, I recognise you, not her!
It's not a coincidence that I'm here with you today. I saw your name in the rota, and I contrived it so I would be here at the same time as you. I had to see you again, Claire.
What on earth?
Hold on, Brian. Go on.
Because I love you. Claire, I love you. I realise now that I always have loved you, but back then at university, I just couldn't make sense of all these strong feelings you were stirring up in my head.
If you think I'm paying out 40 quid for this, mate, you've got another thing coming. I've had enough of this. Listen, mate, you are here to help us with our relationship, not kickstart one of your own. Come on, Claire, we're leaving.
Well, Brian, you've suddenly become all masterful and authoritative.
Have I?
Yes, don't you dare do it again.
Well, you can stay if you like, I'm leaving.
Accept me for who I am, Claire, not for the man I was.
You hear me? I'm leaving.
Well, who you are is certainly impressive.
That's it, I'm staying.
You have been on an incredible journey of self-discovery, going from an ignorant, reactionary, sexist slice of muscle-bound beefcake to a sensitive, reflective, compassionate slice of muscle-bound beefcake. You've reinvented yourself, even down to the change of name.
I've tried, Claire, I truly have.
Brian... He deserves our respect.
No, he doesn't. He deserves reporting to the couple's counselling regulatory body. And I intend to do just that.
They won't do anything.
Oh, yes, they will, Michael Robin, whatever your bloody name is. When they find out what you've been up to, you won't have a leg to stand on. Well, which obviously I was probably not what it sounded like.
It won't do you any good.
Oh, it'll do me the world of good.
Because I'm not a therapist.
Impersonating a therapist? Well, that's got to be some sort of criminal offence.
You are so convincing and full of empathy.
Certainly full of something.
In the last 15 years, Claire, I've had every kind of therapy known to man. I just drew my own experience.
That is so...
Deceitful.
Resourceful.
So who is our actual couples counsellor, then?
Robin Will, the confused-looking chap sitting in the room next door wondering where his clients are. Yes, I know it's devious, Claire. I know it's unforgivable, but it just goes to show how far I will go to win your heart again.
Oh, I'm so confused.
Is it because I'm in a wheelchair? Is it because you don't want to go with a man with a disability?
Oh no, that would be brilliant. I mean that wouldn't be a problem at all. The problem, Michael, Robin, is that it would be a relationship that had its beginnings in a falsehood.
No, that isn't the problem. The problem is that you already have a partner, me.
Oh yes, Brian, that's a given. Stop going on about it.
Thank you.
If I were to start a relationship with you, and obviously we are in the realms of the hypothetical here, how could I trust you?
Claire, the lies, the deceit, the falsehood, it all stops here. You have my word.
Don't listen to him, Claire. He's an inveterate liar.
The thing is, Brian, things haven't been that good between us for a long time. And only the other day we both agreed on how a change would benefit both of us.
Yeah, we were discussing the kitchen tiles.
And then there is the whole... absence of sex, though. Oh,
we can get it back. We can have what we once had beneath the duffel coats at Alison Prowse's end-of-term party, I promise.
Can we really? Because, frankly, Brian, You've never quite reached those giddy heights since.
Oh, please, Claire, don't leave me for our couple's counsellor.
I haven't said I'm leaving you, Brian. This is all still in the realms of the hypothetical. I don't allow meat in my house.
Oh. That's OK. I'm a vegan.
And it's a shoes-off household.
Shouldn't be a problem.
Claire, please. Let's work this out. That is what we came here to do.
I think Claire's made her decision.
Claire, is this true?
Well, if I'm completely honest, and I know this isn't what you want to hear...
Hang on, Michael, Robin, whatever your name is, why are you here at the couples counselling centre?
I told you. I saw Claire's name on the roster and I contrived this meeting so I could see her again.
So if you aren't one of the therapists, what are you doing coming here at all? Sorry, could you repeat that?
I'm here with my wife. We've been having a few problems.
Your wife?
I know what you're thinking, Claire. But not telling you about my wife wasn't a lie. It was an omission. It's a totally different thing.
You have a wife?
Ex-wife. Just as soon as I can make it happen. I promise.
You are an appalling man.
Yeah.
Chucking over Brian's one thing, but having me betray a sister, that's something else altogether.
I would have told you, Claire. I was just waiting for... I better go.
At least you have the decency to know when to leave.
It's not that. The wife's waiting for me in the car park. She just sent me a text.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Claire, I just want you to know I meant everything I said. Well, most of it.
So you would you really have left me?
No, of course not, Brian. I was laying a trap that he fell right into.
Can we give counselling a break and just go back to shouting at each other?
I think so. Although in a funny kind of way, I think that experience has maybe brought us closer together. Robin, Michael, he might not have been a proper counsellor, but I think his intervention may have actually helped our relationship. Possibly even saved it.
Claire?
Yes, Brian?
I never went to Alison Prowse's end-of-term party. You have been listening to Claire in the Community by Harry Venning, starring Sally Phillips, Alex Lowe and Peter Mitchell. The producer was Katie Tyrrell.